You think you're gonna live your life alone, in darkness, in seclusion. Yeah, I know. You've been out there, tried to mix with those animals, and it just left you full of humiliated confusion. So you stagger back home and wait for nothing. But the solitary refinement of your room spits you back out onto the street. And now you're desperate and in need of human contact. And then you meet me and your whole world changes. Because everything I say is everything you've ever wanted to hear. So you drop all your defenses and you drop all your fears.
Hey guys, it's episode 530 of All Time Top 10. Yeah, welcome back to the show, everyone. Welcome back to Top 10 Songs About Mind Control. And this is part two. The great Ryan Stockstad is back. We're going to do numbers 5 through 1. And if you haven't heard part one, please go back and check it out over at the website alltimetop10pod.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, this is a slightly longer episode. We go down some interesting rabbit holes in this half. In fact, only one of the following 6 songs you're going to hear have been played on the podcast before. How about that? So get ready for that in just a moment. The folks over in Patreon land are getting ready for October 1st, and that is when $10 tier member Ari is getting his first rewards episode for being at the $10 tier for 6 months. Thank you, Ari. We're doing a topic of his choosing. It's top 10 songs with insanely long titles. And the Wolfing Brothers, Chris and Justin, are on board to do this one. We're going to have some fun later this month. And if you are in the Patreon Club, you're going to hear that October 1st. If you're not in the Patreon Club, you're not going to hear it because it's exclusive for those folks. And you can join them for just $2 a month. Find out more at the website, alltimetop10pod.com. Before we get into the thing, last week we only had 2 entries into the ATT2000 because I was out of town. So this week we got 4. So I'm just going to power through these. Thanks so much to everyone who's been commenting and letting your opinions be heard about these over there on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you want to interact with us on this stuff and vote in all the polls and all that, find us at all those places. This week we had number 878, The Police, Walking on the Moon. I was asking you guys what the best moon song is. You had a bunch of good picks there. Dancing in the Moonlight, Harvest Moon, Pink Moon from Nick Drake, The Killing Moon from Echo and the Bunnymen, and many more. Thanks so much. But we want to talk about Walking on the Moon from The Police. And our friend Anne on Facebook says, no matter what, I will always choose Walking on the Moon. I like that. Thanks so much, Anne. At number 877, it's Klaatu with Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. I was asking you guys what the best Beatlesque song is. You guys had some good suggestions there. The Knickerbockers, Lies, Tears for Fears, Sowing the Seeds of Love, Electric Light Orchestra, Can't Get You Out of My Head, and many more. But we're talking about Klaatu, Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. If you haven't heard it, check it out. Our friend George Parker on Twitter wants to give a shout out to the Carpenters version, which is quite excellent as well. So that's Klaatu. Number 876, it's Metallica, The Thing That Should Not Be. I was asking you guys what the best song based on a work of fiction is, since The Thing That Should Not Be is based on something from H.P. Lovecraft. But you guys had some good suggestions there. I think it was Kate Bush, Wuthering Heights, was actually the winner in that poll. But you guys had other picks, Kate Bush with The Sensual World, Pink Floyd, Pigs, Concrete Blonde, The Vampire Song from the Anne Rice novels, and many more. But we want to talk about The Thing That Should Not Be. Our resident metalheads came out to show their support. Our friend Todd Mitchell says, perfection, Metallica at their pinnacle. Alex Dubovoy says, one of the heaviest and most interesting songs in their catalog, bar none. That's right, it's The Thing That Should Not Be. At number 875, it's Judas Priest, You've Got Another Thing Coming. I was asking, what is the best all-time Judas Priest song? You guys had some good suggestions. Better By You, Better Than Me, Turbo Lover. A lot of people wanted to hear Breaking the Law. I think that was the winner in that poll. But we like You've Got Another Thing Coming, and it comes in at number 875 on the Big Countdown. If you want to hear the Big Countdown so far, there's over 125 songs on it now. If you want to check it out, we have playlists set up at Apple Music and at YouTube and at Spotify. So look for those. They're really fun. They're starting to have a certain flow to them, which I'm very happy with. So I hope you guys check those out. In the meantime, let's get back into this episode. Let's go to part two, top 10 songs about mind control. Let's talk to our pal Ryan Stockstad. Roll the tape.
I'll lie again and again, and I'll keep lying, I promise.
You what?
Come again, Marge?
You what?
I've joined a Movementarian, and so have all of you.
Wait, what?
All I had to give them was our life savings, the deed to the house, and a commitment of 10 trillion years of labor.
I can't go along with this, Homer.
Marge, when I join an underground cult, I expect a little support from my family.
Dad, do you think you might have been brainwashed?
I have not been brainwashed. Kill the girl. Kill the girl.
Homer!
What? What did I say?
Church, cult, cult, church. So we get bored someplace else every Sunday. Does this really change our day-to-day lives?
Of course not. Except that we're all moving to the Movementarian Agricultural Compound to be near the leader and serve him.
Top 10 Songs About Mind Control, Part 2.
Hey everybody, thanks for hanging out with us here on All Time Top 10. We're back with part two of Top 10 Songs About Mind Control. How was your week? Did you have a good time?
I stretched my legs, I retooled my list, I came up with five more songs for the list.
Nice. You know, if you sit like that for more than 4 days, it could start hurting your back. So next time, you know, you can stretch out. I offered him a cot into
Ben's apartment. I've just been sitting on his couch the entire time.
Yeah, with the headphones on, with your laptop on your lap there. Dude, you got a whole week to just stretch out, and he's so dedicated, he wouldn't do it. But thanks for sticking around.
We actually haven't left the couch. It's been seconds.
Shut up.
The illusion has burst.
Damn it. But we're back talking about songs about mind control.
Yeah.
And so far, so good, I think. Let's get into the top five. You got number five. What do you got?
Oh, man. I love my number five. I love this song.
All right. I like your enthusiasm. That's good.
Yeah. This is a good one. We're going back to the 60s. And this song actually reached number 70 on the Billboard Hot 100 in January of 1964. The song was released in 63, but it was written in 62. And it was first released by Pete Seeger on his... it was the opening track, actually, on his 1963 album, Broadside Ballads, Volume 2. I am talking about Little Boxes, his only charter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a song about middle-class conformity, and I think the song qualifies as mind control because he makes it pretty clear that everybody's being influenced by their job, they're being influenced by each other, they're being influenced by their school, the university, everything is packaging them into the same thing.
This is the perfect song for this period of time.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know... You could see, you know, where things were going to go.
Right.
With the hindsight that we have. And 62, there was none of that, you know, like it was just rigid conformity.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it was like after the Red Scare, but people were still thinking about commies everywhere they went. And, you know, the height of the Cold War, and I think Cuban Missile Crisis was 62.
Yeah.
pretty scary time to be around, you know? And this is before any of that cool 60s stuff,
right?
You know?
Exactly.
This is not the 60s that we think of when we think of the 60s. This is like,
yeah,
you know, is your tie tight enough?
Right.
What was that thing Jello Biafra said? Is my tie tight enough now?
I forget.
Is my noose tight enough now? Can I work in your office?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, this song was written by a woman, Malvina Reynolds.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but she didn't release it. I mean, she played it. I mean, she wrote it and orchestrated it and composed it, and you know, she performed it. She was friends with Pete Seeger because all these folkies, they all knew each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like he ripped her off or anything. It's like, you
sure,
know,
she was fully compensated.
Completely, right. Yeah. So, but she wrote it, but she didn't actually release her recording until 67, by which point the song was like not just a national, it was like a global phenomenon. Like this song reached the entire planet. In fact, there's a really great Spanish language version of the song by, oh, did I write down this guy's name? I already forgot the guy's name. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
But the Spanish language version is fantastic and you should all check it out. And that was released in 69. So this song got around.
No,
when she wrote it, the story goes that she was on a road trip and she was like, take the wheel to her husband or whatever. I got
inspired.
And she scribbled it. And it was all because as they were driving, she saw a new housing development being built. And they all looked identical. All the houses looked the same.
Yep.
And the story continues that later Time Magazine was doing a piece on her and they wanted her to point out, Where did it happen? You know, where did you? And when she went back to the spot with the photographer, she couldn't point it out because the entire hillside had been now covered with homes that all looked the same. So it had only gotten worse in the ensuing years. The lyrics of this are little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky tacky, which I learned was not necessarily really a word, and it became part of the lexicon because of this song.
I thought it was some sort of material.
Yeah, I've always thought that too. And apparently it was not. This is like, yeah, so that, in fact, the Spanish version is really cool because
they say ticky-tacky.
They don't say ticky-tacky. They say, I think they say tic-tac because you can tell they say in Spanish, like, box made of tic-tac or something like that. But anyway, something like that. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one. Mm-hmm. And they're all made of ticky-tacky and they all look the same. And it goes on to say that the people in the houses all went to the university where they were... the lyric sheet I'm reading from is wrong. they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. There's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
Nice. Was this the theme song for the show Weeds?
I never watched that show, but that makes sense.
I feel like it is. I never saw the show either, but
yeah,
for some reason that strikes me as.
I know they used it.
We'll look that up. I'll let everyone know when we come back.
They used it in that horror movie. A couple years ago too.
Nice.
To nice effect. But more literal because like they all get little boxes that have a clue that they then go to the, so it's like completely misses the point of the song. You
boo.
Know? Yeah.
We hate when they miss the point.
Yeah. Literal.
But Pete Seeger?
Yeah, we can listen to either one, but I think Pete Seeger because it's the hit, it's fair. But everybody should definitely check out her version. It's really good.
Cool. Yeah, the other version is by Malvina Reynolds, as he said.
And I'll tell you afterwards the Spanish language version to look up, too.
Yeah, we'll get that, and we'll get the answer to the weeds question. We'll come back with all the stuff and more right after this. Here's number five, though. This is Little Boxes from Pete Seeger. Good pick.
Number five, Little Boxes.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, little boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
and the people in the houses all went to the university, and they all got put in boxes, little boxes all the same. And there's doctors and there's lawyers and business executives, and they all get put in boxes and they all come out the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martini dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, and they all get put in boxes, and they all come out the same.
Yeah, little boxes. Indeed, it was the theme song for the show Weeds, but it hurt the Malvina Reynolds version was the one they used.
Ah, I see.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and her version's great. I mean, sadly, when I looked on Spotify, over like 6 million hits on the Pete Seeger one, and then like 8,000 on hers. Yeah. But hers is fantastic too. The Spanish language one that you want to look up is by Adolfo Celdran.
Okay.
I'm probably butchering his name, but he was a Spanish singer. He was from Spain,
mm-hmm.
and he was part of a movement in Madrid, and apparently a bit of a forgotten figure to a degree, because I actually had trouble finding information about him, although he had some hits. So, but the name of the song is where is it? Cajitas, which is a very cute way of saying little boxes in Spanish. Cajitas.
Nice. Cool. Thanks so much for bringing the Pete Seeger too. It's another one we don't get very often on the show.
No,
we should get it more often.
Yeah, you know? It's always so good.
Thanks for that. Let's go to number four, and this song has been featured in one other episode to date, and it was Top 10 Songs for Donald Trump, Volume 4. I don't know if you guys have heard it. If you're interested, go back in the archives, and we've done four. We did four volumes. Not songs about Donald Trump, but songs for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it was like songs about liars, megalomaniacs, con artists, racists.
Losers.
Yeah, well, that was a separate one.
That was a separate, but it was packaged that way, too.
It was. Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Yazzie Vincent, who was the co-host of Volume 4. And I did feature it in that episode, and I wrote this, and this is November of 2019. We didn't do a Trump episode in 2020. We just felt this wasn't needed. But we did one in 2016 before the election. I would be interested to go back and listen to, what we had to say about him then. Probably still pretty accurate.
I know we ranted about him in
the losers episode.
No, before that, before he was elected.
Oh, yeah.
You and I
Songs to Vote By. Empowering
Songs
to Vote By.
Yeah, that's what it was. Songs to Vote. And you can hear me stupidly predicting that there's no way, there's no chance this asshole is going to win.
I don't think I ever said that.
I was like, come on.
I called him an asshole once, but
it's like, come on, there's no way. There's no way. No, and then it happened.
I asked some friends, Mike and Noodle, if they wanted to do that, because I felt like it needed to be done in 2016. Yeah. And then we did one in 2017, 2018, 2019. But anyway, this is what I wrote in November of 2019. One of the scariest aspects of this place and time in history is the preponderance of misinformation. There are entities such as Fox News that are making billions of dollars for lying to the American people. We all know Hannity, Pirro, Ingraham, and Tucker spread insane conspiracy theories and stoke racial grievances during Fox News' prime time. The news division at Fox doesn't necessarily make up the news, but they select what their viewers see very carefully. We often see every other news network talking about something insane the president just did or said or did, like something that does violence to the U.S. Constitution, and Fox News is talking about puppies or something.
Yeah.
Misinformation is a killer, and it's literally the only thing saving Donald Trump right now. So here's a song about being brainwashed by malevolent forces that are aligned against you, and not only can you not do anything about it, you aren't even aware that it's happening to you. Nobody will ever let you know when you ask the reasons why. They just tell you that you're on your own. Fill your head all full of lies. You bastards. This is Black Sabbath. The song is Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Nice.
Yeah, this was the one that I had, much like your, I think it was the Chumbawamba pick that you had like ready to go. This was the first thing I thought of. I was like, Mind Control.
Yeah. It's going to be on there. Right.
So, not sure if anything I said in 2019 rings false today, but anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting that, pretty much talking about the same shit 3 years later. Anyway, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is the song, and it's number four. Check it out. Sabbath.
Number four, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
It's interesting. You just asked me what day it is, and I told you that it is August 28th, 2022.
Yeah.
Here's an article dated August 28th, 2022. Ozzy Osbourne fed up with U.S. gun violence, moving back to U.K.
Oh, yeah. Not surprised at all.
This is from The Hill. Rock legend Ozzy Osbourne said he is fed up with gun violence in America and plans to move back permanently to England. Osbourne told The Guardian in a story published Sunday that he plans to sell his L.A. home and move to England. The metal singer said he was making the move because, quote, everything's ridiculous.
Yeah,
in the
it's out of control.
Yep. Quote, I'm fed up with people getting killed every day. God knows how many people have been shot in school shootings. Osbourne said, explaining that he does not want to die in America.
No.
And that it was time to return to his home country.
I'm this close to leaving America myself. I'm so sick of, this, the way it feels here.
Yeah, it's just tense everywhere you go.
Yeah, it's...
Shout out to...
I got a friend. I'm just going to rant for that. I got a friend who, without saying too much, is possibly dying of a terminal disease, and if it's not guns in this country, then it's healthcare.
Right.
You know, the procedure he may have to get is the third most expensive procedure that you would have to get. The most expensive is a heart transplant that costs over $1 million to get a heart transplant,
even with insurance.
Yeah, even with insurance, $1.4 million I think is what the total is. The next most expensive is intestinal transplant, and then the next one is the one he would have to get, and it would be like $900,000. And he looked into, you know, well, what if I go to someplace like India or someplace where, you know, I can get the procedure done, still like $100,000. But, you know, he could potentially...
You could possibly pay that back.
Live through that and have a life after, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all he's been talking about is if he survives this, he's moving to another country that has socialized medicine, because you can't survive in this country.
No, it's, you know, we're a bunch of rugged individualists.
Yeah.
And it's every person for themselves.
Yeah,
here.
And
that's the way it is.
Socialism what's the song by Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy where they say people are so uneducated in this country that they think socialism means anti-American?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yep. Anyway. So, Ozzy, we will miss you, and hope you, have a
good... I hope you live a long life.
Yeah, hope you don't get shot in England. Oh, you probably won't.
No, you won't.
Good times.
My friend was telling me he was in Iceland recently, and there was a shooting in Iceland. Which affected him.
That was probably like the biggest news story of the year.
Yeah, it's an ongoing news story there. It happened a few weeks ago, and it's only like the... something like third time there's been a shooting since like the 90s. Yeah. And sadly it affected somebody he knows, but
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, in this country you can't, I mean, if you were to read the news every day of school shootings, you'd have to read it all day long. There's a school shooting every 30 minutes.
My phone just told me about another one in a supermarket in Oregon.
Yeah. And you have to tune that sort of thing out if you're going to like function, because it's
That's the way it is here.
That's the way it is here.
Wow. Good times.
Yeah. I'm laughing now because you either laugh or you cry. It is so bad.
It is sad. And there are ways that, you know, we can get out of this. It just involves people getting involved and paying attention.
Please vote this next election. Please.
At the very least, yes. it's not that hard.
Get out and organize. Get out and...
At least vote. That's the bare minimum. Let's go to number two, or number three. You got something fun over there? This is a comedy song?
No, it's not. But it's not. Spirits. It's not. It's not anywhere near as big of a bummer as what we just listened to. But maybe it is. I don't know.
This
is a bummer
man.
Too. I don't know. We were going to 2009.
Okay.
And. This is probably the only time I'm ever going to play a song from this band, because I'm not really a huge fan, but this song is Too Perfect, and I do like this song. The band is Muse.
Oh, yeah.
And the song is MK Ultra.
Some listener picks for Muse, yes.
Said, that whole album's kind of a concept album.
Someone said anything by Muse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. The album, this is off their fifth album, The Resistance, from 2009. And if you don't know, I mean, everybody knows what MK Ultra is probably, but you know, if you don't know, it was a government, I should have written down notes about this and I didn't. It was a government, somewhat legal, mostly illegal. It was kind of a legal experiment. It went for 2 decades between 1953 and 1973 before it was finally completely shut down. And the illegal aspect is that they were doing testing on civilians without their consent. And what the experiments that they were doing had to do with various mind control, mostly through drugs, but also through torture and other things. For the longest time, this was regarded as something of a conspiracy theory, but this was real.
They admitted it.
Yeah, the Carter administration was really good about like coming out with this stuff. He was like, "This is nonsense."
That's why he was a one-term president.
That's why, exactly. I know.
They're like, "Is that guy still talking? We got to get him out of here." Reagan, what? Fine, whatever.
Well, what's extra crazy is the head of the CIA was like, shred the documents, and so most of the records were destroyed, and that's also what leads it to be something of conspiracy theory fodder, is because there's so many holes in the information that is official that we can actually know about, which comes from documents that were saved, but also congressional hearings that were done in the 70s to try to like unpack all this stuff. They interviewed people. So there is stuff that's known, but the conspiracy theories, of course, they love to fill in the gaps.
It's got
to
be a good documentary about it.
Well, there's plenty, I'm sure, but if you haven't seen Wormwood, You got to see it. It's on Netflix. It's the best thing on Netflix. It's an Errol Morris film about Frank Olson, who was a army scientist who was one of the people who was dosed without his consent.
It's LSD, right?
LSD, but also other things. But he definitely was on LSD.
Yeah.
And the official story is that he jumped to his death. He jumped out of his hotel
That's
window.
That's right. And his family was trying to sue the CIA.
His family contests that narrative. They say he was murdered. And in the 70s, Carter was real good about, you know, he brought them to the White House and stuff and, like, you know, gave them lots of information. They had hearing. They were part of the people.
Homer Simpson's right. Jimmy Carter is history's greatest monster.
Yeah. But anyways, a fantastic documentary. It's maybe a little too long because, you know, it's Netflix, so they got to do it as like a 4-part episode, right, and everything. But check it out. It's called Wormwood. I'm not saying it's like the definitive story about MKUltra, but it's absolutely riveting.
Is this the definitive song about MKUltra?
That I don't know either, but it's pretty good. And lyrically, it's the wavelength gently grows, coercive notions re-evolve. A universe is trapped inside a tear. It resonates the core, creates unnatural laws, replaces love and happiness with fear. How much deception can you take? How many lies will you create? How much longer till you break? Your mind's about to fail.
Wow. Yeah.
And I love it. News to me. It gets into a part where they're saying, they're breaking through. They're breaking through. They're breaking through. We're losing control. I mean, it's just perfect. I couldn't not put this on my list.
I'm glad you did.
Even though I'm not the world's biggest Muse fan, like, it's got my number 2 spot, number 3 on our list.
Mm-hmm. So. Cool. Well, Yolanda says won't stand down from Muse. Justin says uprising.
Yeah.
But Trin and Kevin say MK Ultra.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to top MK Ultra.
Nice.
Uprising's good too, though.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's check it out. It's Muse coming in at number 3.
Number 3, MK Ultra.
Yeah, it's Muse. That sounds like Muse to me.
Yeah, I as I was saying to Ben, like, I'm not a huge fan because it's a little too slick. It's a little too overproduced for my taste.
It's very slick. Yeah. It's very produced. But their sound, you know?
And I know people love them, and that's great.
It helps with their kind of sci-fi-ness, how it's like, it's really glossy.
Yeah.
You know?
But that song is so perfect. I just had to include it.
MK Ultra.
And it is a good song. I do like the song.
They've got a great song.
Yeah.
For sure.
They got a new album out, Will of the People.
Nice.
Which, if you like Muse, you'll probably like it. It was a little too slick and overproduced for me, but it, real polished.
It sounded too much like Muse for you to like it.
Yeah, I listened to it last week or whenever. At the time that we're recording this, it just came out a few days ago or a week ago.
Well, I shall have to check it out.
So this song, MKUltra, was not one of their singles, but MTV did a video for them anyway for that song as part of their MTV Exit campaign, which was a campaign to eradicate human exploitation and trafficking, especially in Asia and Pacific. In partnership with USAID. Anyway, they released this music video. It's on YouTube. I watched it and it brought me to tears practically. It's wow. So powerful. So everybody should definitely check out that video.
It's one of those super informative videos.
Well, it's specifically like about human trafficking, you know? And I don't even want to say what happens in the video. Just put it on and give it a watch.
The video is like an episode of the John Oliver show.
Yeah, right.
Or something.
It's it's really good. It's really intense. And apparently this MTV Exit campaign, they did like a handful of other videos for other songs at the time too, so probably worth checking out.
Wow, MTV did something good.
Yeah.
Good for them. Thanks for sharing that. Let's go to number two. And there was pretty much no way we could avoid I Put a Spell on You.
Okay. I'm
into it. It's got to get played. It's the ultimate ode to relationship gaslighting. You know? Yeah. I Put a Spell on You because you're mine. You stop the things you do. Watch out. I ain't lying. I can't stand on running around. I can't stand on putting me down. I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours right now. I put a spell on you because you're mine. Screaming Jay Hawkins wrote it, and his drunken, demented performance elevated it to legendary status.
Yeah.
Pretty soon it was covered by everybody.
Yeah.
Nina Simone did it. CCR did it. Annie Lennox did it. Marilyn Manson did it. Jeff Beck did it. Buddy Guy, The Animals, Them, Queen Latifah, like everyone.
That's great.
According to one of my favorite go-to sites for research, whosampled.com, it has been covered a grand total of 68 times.
Nice.
Studio versions of I Put a Spell on You. And I have to play this version. You hear some of this in the soundtrack to Natural Born Killers. This is the first time I heard it. Shout out to Trent Reznor, who produced that soundtrack. And it's featured as sort of a mashup with a Jane's Addiction song called Ted Just Admit It, a song about Ted Bundy. It's called Sex is Violent. It's like a mashup. And this version of I Put a Spell on You comes from an artist named Diamanda Galas. If you're familiar.
I know this version.
Just from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to look up some stuff about her. She is an avant-garde jazz gothic rock artist. She's been making records since 1973 from the San Diego area. And she's got albums out on Mute Records, which is the home of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Depeche Mode, New Order, and others. Here's a bit about her from Wikipedia. They say... Galas's commitment to addressing social issues and her involvement in collective action has made her concentrate on themes such as AIDS, mental illness, despair, loss of dignity, political injustice, historical revisionism, and war crimes. Galas has attracted the attention of the press, particularly for her voice, a soprano sfogato, and written accounts that describe her work as original and thought-provoking refer to her as, quote, capable of the most unnerving vocal terror and an aesthetic revolutionary and a mourner for the world's victims and, quote, an envoy of risk, honesty, and commitment.
Yeah, I'm diving into her later. I got to hear this.
She's an artist, 100%.
Yeah, I gotta check her out.
And that voice, it's like... otherworldly. So I love this version. I first heard it in the Natural Born Killers soundtrack. There's a lot more to it than you hear in that mashup.
Yeah, exactly.
So check it out. This is I Put a Spell on You from Diamanda Galas. That's G-A-L-A-S. And it's number two. Oh, we definitely have listener picks. Sorry, I should give some shout outs to everybody here. Adam, Bill, Frank, Tim, and Fernando say I Put a Spell on You. And then Rain also wants to mention the Screaming Jay Hawkins song, You Put a Spell on Me.
is that a song?
He did that too? He did a sequel, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
Mind blown.
You have to check it out at some point. But yeah, this is I Put a Spell on You, number two.
Number two, I Put a Spell on You.
Like you said, she's the one that could come closest to matching Screamin'
yeah,
Jay.
She's got the energy. Like, few people can even come close to Screamin' Jay, and she maybe even goes beyond it.
How does she sing like that?
Yeah.
It's insane.
It reminded me of Janis, too. Joplin's got a little bit of that going on sometimes.
But it's like, it's almost like elastic, her voice. Like,
yeah.
Opens up this level that no one else can get to.
Yeah.
That is Dia Manda Galas. I Put a Spell on You. You were asking me off the air how many different ways has that song been played on the show.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Episode 5, the Screamin' Jay version, was played. Nina Simone's version, episode 76. Marilyn Manson's version, 88. Oh, that's a top 10 scary love songs.
And I was mad at you guys. I was like, you got to re-record it with the Screamin' Jay version. And you were like, fuck off. No, I'm not doing that. And I was like,
I like the Marilyn Manson.
I did too,
version.
But for that
for
theme,
scary love songs.
Yeah, I was like, no, you got to do the original.
I could see that. So then Annie Lennox's version was played in Stalker Songs.
Nice.
Nina Simone's version was played again in Songs About Luck, episode 257.
Is that 5 now?
I haven't been counting. I think so. Top 10 Blue-Eyed Soul Singers. Annie Lennox again, episode 268. Screamin' Jay again, Rock and Roll Screamers.
Yeah.
Episode 277. And that's it. And then that one. So... yeah, I mean, it's an enduring song that can be taken in a million different ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, that one comes the closest.
It's great. Thank you for turning me on to her. I'm into it. It's great.
Yeah, go check out her stuff. She's got like 20 albums or something.
I'll be diving in. Can't wait.
Let's go to number one. We're here.
Wow.
Number one. Yeah.
So once again, we've reached a song that I first put on my list way back in, you know, February. And Ben got a little hint when he happened to see my my Spotify recent listening on Spotify. He pointed out, "Hey, you were just listening to a song," and I said, "Yeah, well, you know that the name of that playlist is it's the playlist that I created for this topic, and the name of the playlist is Faith Collapsing." Conveniently, the name of the song I'm about to play by Ministry. Yeah, from
nothing wrong with that.
No, definitely not. From one of my absolute favorite Ministry albums, The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste, from 1989.
They had humor. They were funny sometimes.
I read today...
I've heard Jesus Built My Hot Rod. That's a funny song.
Yeah. I read today that Jorgensen pitched that, and the rest of the band groaned. They were like, "Oh,
why is it a terrible thing to taste?"
They thought it was so stupid, and he liked it too much, and his word was stronger than theirs, so it went. That's what it was.
Yeah, but that band's not a democracy.
Not it's that Al band, apparently.
That's Al's band. We know this.
Anyway, but yeah, great album. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was like 15 years old or whatever, I devoured this album. Like, I loved this album.
I didn't really know of them until like Psalm 69 era. And like the video for
I devoured that one too, but
New
this
World
one
Order was the song. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and I wasn't listening to this in 1989, but I was too young. I mean, I was listening to like the Back to the Future soundtrack or something on cassette, you know. but no, I loved this, and I loved it so much. And this is a true story. This really happened. I would never do this now. I can't believe I did this then. I was reading the book, 1984, in my room with music on. Who does that? Who reads while listening to music? I know. That's insane. What kind of maniac was I? But I'm sitting there, and this has never happened before or since, but it happened to me. I swear to Christ this happened. I'm reading the book, and the words on the page are suddenly coming out of my stereo because I heard Faith Collapsing playing at the same moment. And that song is sampling 1984 and also Fahrenheit 451. But but thoroughly samples both of them. When I was putting this list together, it was amazing how often a song I would think, "Oh, does this count?" I'd look at the lyrics and I'd be listening and I'd be like, "Oh, there's a 1984 quote. It counts." Like, there's a lot of...
That movie, that book, it was a movie, right?
It was a movie, yeah, because they sampled the movie for this song, the British movie.
Was that John Hurt?
Yeah.
But that book just...
The Eurythmics did some music for it.
Has never gone out of fashion. Everyone wants to... Yeah. Reference it. Everyone wants to talk about it. Even Trump people
abusing it. Yeah,
tell us that this is Orwellian. What's happening?
Yeah,
it's just yeah. It's part of the culture permanently.
Well, really. And again, I assume everybody knows what 1984 is about, or at least somewhat. What I find interesting, and Fahrenheit 451 to a degree as well. But what I find interesting about this song is the title is Faith Collapsing. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of clues in this song to what it's about. It's really the only, I might not be 100% accurate here, but I believe the only words that the band contributes are the words Faith Collapsing, which they say repeatedly. And maybe a different iteration of that, but maybe they say collapsing a few times or something without faith. I don't know. But the rest of it is all samples from these two movies. But what I find interesting about that title is both of the characters, the main characters in those stories, are parts of the system. They're parts of the propaganda machine. They're parts of the dystopian government that is like oppressing people.
Right.
And both of them have their faith in government shaken. Fahrenheit ends on a good note where he's going to like fight for, you know, people.
1984
does not. 1984 Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1984. But, you know...
2 + 2 = 5, and he really believes it.
Yeah, and there's that meeting at the end with him and his lover, and they both had, they talk to each other, and they tell, we don't have feelings for each other anymore, and they... I forget, it's better than that, but they basically are like... They both admit that they confessed on the other to the state, and that they no longer feel for each other, and then they go back to being oppressed. But it's absolutely it's about a lot of things, but obviously mind control is a main part of it.
Sure. You know,
this is the book that introduced phrases like doublethink and
new speak,
ministry of truth,
yeah. Truth social. Oh wait, that's something else.
That's
God damn. Yeah.
Did you hear that? Never forget, people. Never forget that the Trumpansies are loud, but they are in the minority. Did you hear the recent reports about Truth Social? So Trump hasn't been paying the bills. So
that's shocking.
No shock. Exactly. Big surprise. There's lawsuits and stuff going on. yeah. But he hasn't paid in like months. Yeah. But the data that's coming out of it. And of course, we know that it's ridden with bots anyway, because right. That's part of the whole point of it. Is like, well, we don't censor anybody. Right. We
right.
don't. Yeah. So you know, it's riddled with bots anyway. But Trump, who is by far the figure on the site with the most followers, only has like under 4,000 followers.
What?
On Truth Social. Under 4,000 followers.
No
on
way.
His own. That's it.
Because when he truths now.
Yeah.
This is completely laughable that they
right,
call
they
it
call
that.
Right, they call it truths.
That stuff gets reposted on Twitter all the time and everyone talks about it.
Yeah, well.
But I thought it was way more than
way
that.
Way more, right? No. The actual.
It's like 70 million on Twitter before they kicked him off.
Yeah. No, exactly. There's and the other thing about it is, you know, the big most popular sort of like hashtags or whatever right now is defund the FBI is their big one that
right.
they're using. Only shared like, I forget the exact numbers, so don't quote me on this, but like 16,000 times or something. Like something pathetic.
That's nothing.
And the actual amount of users who are actually going there and using the site has been down considerably since their peak.
Sure.
And that peak was when it first started.
So you're saying that those people are loud, but there's not very many of them.
That's what I'm saying. Never forget, okay. We outnumber them. You just got to go and vote. You don't be bullied by these. And even within the Republican Party, the MAGA Republicans are outnumbered, so just vote against them, please.
Yeah, by the way, there's no telling what... This is August 28th. There's no telling what's gone down between now and when this comes out.
I know.
We try to stay current, but I mean, God knows. I mean, it's insane, you know, that we are dealing with this stuff. Like, it was just continuing to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, I'm so tired of it. I'm so sick of it.
How could anyone not be?
Yeah.
People on both sides. How could anyone on both sides, on either side, not be sick of it?
Yeah.
You know? But we got to talk about it, so sadly. Anyway, shall we? Ministry?
Yeah, let's play it. It's so good. Faith Collapsing.
Nice. All right, check it out. Number one.
Number one, Faith Collapsing.
One, two, three, four. Bye.
I was telling Ryan off the air that it sounds like it's a lot of fun making that, you know, it's like doing collage art, you know?
Right.
But you were saying this was not a good time for the band.
Yeah, I was reading about the creation of the album, and apparently because of all the drugs that he was taking, Jorgensen cites it as like a miserable experience for him.
Drugs are bad, okay? I don't do drugs.
Yeah, and even though it's a fan favorite, it like the band was at, like, they hated each other when they made it, and there's a story of like Baker being like hit over the head with a chair by Jorgensen at one point, and like there was another story that said like only one song in the entire album, I think So What is the song, it's the only one that has more than one person actually recording in the studio at any given moment, like, yeah. Like none of the other songs they were actually collaborating together, with the exception of the pre-production phase, which is 2 months of them just watching movies together and writing and pulling samples.
That sounds like fun, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, you were wondering about Chumbawamba.
Oh, right. Yeah. What was my Chumbawamba song that I played?
A song called That's How Grateful We Are.
Ah.
And it was featured in episode 239, Top 10 Modern Protest Songs.
Yes.
With Ryan Stockstad, released November 4th, 2016.
Uh-huh.
That's the one we did
that
just
might
before
be
the election.
That must be it.
And we did top 10 empowering songs to vote by in 2018.
Okay.
And then we did songs about losers beginning of 2021, and now we got this. It's a quadrilogy.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm your guy in November.
Sure.
We appreciate it. Everybody should go back and listen to that episode from 2016, because you can hear me embarrass myself as I give the worst crystal ball prediction I've ever given.
It was just before the election too. Yeah. Many people heard that after it was over.
I hope to you God idiot. People didn't hear me say that and say, I don't need to vote because Ryan just said that this guy's never going to win. Mm. I hope to God. I don't need that on my shoulder.
It was your fault.
Exactly.
Did you move to Wisconsin briefly? And then, no. Anyway.
I remember texting you that night too and being like, what is going on in your state, dude? What? And you were like, I can't talk right now. I can't deal with this.
Nope.
You're like, I don't want to.
I think that was pretty much the attitude of everybody.
Oh, just, for sure.
Where's the alcohol?
I was texting with tons of people that night. We were all just like,
where's the alcohol? Yeah.
It's depressing.
Well, let's not have it repeated that. After this November. That is Ministry, though, and that's number one. That's our list. Ryan Stockstad, everybody.
Yeah. Real quick, I just want to mention real quick, I brought in, sometimes I bring in a little prop when we take our picture, and this time I brought in, talking about collage art, I brought in my copy of Act Like Nothing's Wrong, the montage art of Winston Smith. Winston Smith was a artist who did punk rock flyers and stuff, and he created a lot of the Dead Kennedys montage. Anything you've seen with Jello Biafra or Dead Kennedys, if Jello didn't do it, it was Winston Smith. Mm-hmm. But Winston Smith, of course, the 1984 fans out there will immediately recognize that's the main character in,
right,
1984. So he also took the guy's name. But there's a little introduction here, which I think is apropos of our episode. He said, many have identified with the protagonist of George Orwell's pretentious novel 1984, but few have taken the message to heart as completely as montage artist Winston Smith. 20 years ago, Winston adopted the name of Orwell's main character to remind himself and the rest of us that annihilation of the individual is more than a fictional plot device. It's a subtext for modern life. And I think that is I couldn't find a more fitting description of what we're talking about today.
Fantastic. That's great. Yeah, and I can see on the cover there, that's the God We Trust Incorporated album art.
Yeah.
Which is
it's money folded into a cross, and there's a barcode with 666, and Jesus is made out of gold on the cross.
It's quite striking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's a good artist. He's you should check him out. And
Winston Smith, everyone.
I don't know if this book is out of print. I don't know if it's hard to come by, but I'm sure you can get it from your local library. It's worth looking at.
Nice. Well, there it is. We have some honorable mentions to get to, which we will in just a moment. But right now it's time for the bonus track of the week for part two.
Yeah.
And this is the song requested by our friends on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
As chosen by our listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week, selected by our friends on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Okay, this has been Top 10 Songs About Mind Control Part 2. Thanks so much to the great Ryan Stockstad for coming through for us in style. Hope you guys have enjoyed this one. We got one more for you. These are the songs you guys were voting on over there on the social media. We had Slayer with Mind Control. We had Frank Zappa with I'm the Slime. Just missed out again. We had the Rolling Stones with Under My Thumb. But the winner this week, and I cannot believe this is the first time this song has ever been played on the show, because that seems kind of not right. But the winner this week, it's XTC. The song is Making Plans for Nigel. And I think Andy Partridge can explain to you what he means by you know, the mind control aspect of this one. So check it out. It's XTC, the bonus track of the week with Making Plans for Nigel. Thanks so much to listener My Fanway. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's spelled MYFANWY, My Fanway. I have no idea if I said that. I'm sorry if I didn't. But thank you so much for picking this one. And thanks so much to everyone that voted for it. Here it is, the bonus track of the week.
Listener pick.
Bonus track of the week. Thanks everyone for your picks and your votes. Okay, Ryan, you got some more picks over there.
Yeah,
mention them. What do you got?
Well, let's see here. I'm glossing over some that have already been named. Okay, here we go. At My Job by Dead Kennedys. Nice, you know, being sort of controlled by the workplace. I'm working at my job. I'm so happy. More boring by the day, but they pay me.
I was like the life sentence.
Yeah,
from
yeah,
that's
a classic. Yeah, it's a
classic. Used to be partners in crime. Now you say you ain't got the time.
I think that song is there's probably not a more fitting song for that I've embraced as like a Bible or whatever. Like to me, that song speaks to me more than just about any other song I ever recorded. I love that song.
It's fantastic. Yeah, what else you got?
All Good Soldiers by Bad Religion, which is a nice one about the military doing this to people. And it's got that great lyric where he's like, something about like following the president because the president believes in God, like all good soldiers do.
There
great,
you go.
Great stuff. Oh, God.
Greg Graffin, man.
There's also that part where he says, who will be accountable? A cannibal, a cannonball. That's fantastic. That is a great poetic way to describe a soldier.
When the fighting starts, who will be accountable? A cannibal, a cannonball.
Fucking great. Anyway, that's another one. I mentioned earlier Television, the Drug of the Nation by Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy. 6 minutes of scathing takedown of why you should chuck your television into the street because it is just propagandizing to you. But of course, nowadays it's your phone. And it's happening, unfortunately, 24 hours a day.
And no one's going to be chucking that into the street.
You know, when he wrote that song, I don't even know if they had 24-hour cable news. Now it's 24-hour, you know.
Right.
Anyway. I Am the Stink by Zappa and the Mothers of Invention.
You mean I'm the Slime?
Oh, yeah. I read my shitty writing wrong.
Because I have that as one of my alternates. I'm the Slime.
Yes, I Am the Slime, which is another Television one.
Yeah.
And also very good. Bruce's Diary by Jello Biafra and No Means No, which is all about the people that pull the strings behind the scenes. And it's really perfect for this topic, but I just like these other songs better. Testify by Rage Against.
Sure.
Which has at the end a 1984 quote when he says, who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
Yeah.
It's 1984.
Testify is great. I had Bullet in the Head.
Which is another good one. Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
You know, we could have picked, you know, probably 10 Rage songs.
That was my number one alternate. I was hoping you'd steal from me so we could hear it. But anyway.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Kill Your Sons by Lou Reed, which is fantastic. I never heard it before, and Rosenberg suggested it to me. And I listened to it. It's so good. Do you know the song?
No.
So it's about, he really went through this, but when he was a teenager, his parents wanted to, you know, cure the gay out of him, and so they sent him off to get shock treatment.
Yeah, I'd heard about that.
And
yeah.
So the song is all about how damaging that is to your brain.
Well, yeah.
But there's also, but even if it quote unquote cures you, how miserable and unhappy you are by trying to be something you're not. So there's a great lyric where he talks about a husband snapping and like chopping the table in half with an axe or something. And then it says, hey, but aren't you glad you're married? Like, aren't you glad you're straight, dude? Yeah, it's a great, great song. Never heard before.
Sad what happened to him, but he, you know, made a career out of, you know, the wreckage, I guess.
I mean, I think not for the same reason, but Townes Van Zandt also had shock treatment done to him and messed him up. I mean, he doesn't even remember his childhood. Or, well, he's passed now, but...
Who could do that to their kid?
Isn't that horrible? Jeez. I know. Well, now they do other horrible things to kids, but...
Yeah. Anyway, do you have more?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Of course I do. Mind Control by Slayer.
Sure.
Minds Are Controlled by Corrosion of Conformity. Cult of Personality by Living Color.
It's one of mine, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. Yep. A rap song, What Would You Do? By Paris. I've brought Paris on the show before. I'm a big fan. And that song, it skirts a little too much into conspiracy theory for my taste, so I didn't really want to bring it on, but it's still pretty explosive. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, which at first I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure if it'll count. Let me read the lyrics again. And what was I saying about 1984? There's that whole verse where he says, there's a room where the light won't find you. Holding hands while the walls come tumbling down. When they do, I'll be right behind you. That is absolutely a 1984 reference right there.
Yeah.
And the song's about a lot of things, about Cold War and stuff, but it's so such a good song. Yep. Eye in the Sky by Alan Parsons.
Sure.
Which on the surface, I thought was sort of about just about surveillance, but it gets into you'll do what we want you to do kind of stuff. So, cool. Wag the Dog by Mark Knopfler. A relationship one, Wild World by Cat Stevens, which I think is sort of classic gaslighting song.
It's funny. You mentioned that the other day about that song, and I never thought of it that way. It's just,
yeah, oh yeah, that's what it is.
He really cares about this person.
No. They've broken up, and he's trying to tell her she's no good, and she's not going to do well on her own. Yeah, go back and re-listen to it. It's insidious gaslighting.
Interesting.
And I think it's perfect for this topic, but
you only get so many.
Dream Police by Cheap Trick.
Yep.
Media by Naked Aggression. which I brought on the show, and it's obvious what that's about. But, you know, if you want to hear 90s incendiary screaming punk music about your TV, smash your TV over and over again, smash your TV, the media.
People are TV alone.
Red, White, and Brainwash by Anti-Flag. Sugar by System of a Down, which is about how artificial sweeteners are affecting our moods and changing, making us insane. And it's also about, like, there was some cult that they all killed themselves or something, and they were found drinking kombucha. That's in there. And then it's also about how politicians lie to you through their TV, and they cram all this into about 2 minutes because the lead singer sings like five times faster than any mortal human can sing.
Yeah, that first album's really fun from them.
And then the last one, which I think is the big one that I just assumed we would cover, but I just didn't want to put it on there, and I guess you didn't either, and that's Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious. Yeah. I just played Pink Floyd.
Yeah, I just figured...
Last week's episode, or I don't know when this comes out, but Easter egg album titles one. I played Brain Damage.
Well, maybe it'll get Dark Side of the Moon.
We could put it up for voting. Yeah,
it could be, because it's just, to me, it was the first one I thought of, and it was also the first one I rejected.
There are listener picks for it. Yeah. So cool. I've got a few here. I'm going to mention Under My Thumb.
Yeah, good one.
From the Stones, more gaslighting there.
Yeah.
I did have I'm the Slime from Frank Zappa. The Rollins Band, Liar.
Oh, good one.
Remember that?
Yeah, good one.
The White Stripes with Hypnotize. Radiohead with Karma Police. Metallica with Leper Messiah. Those three, They Might Be Giant songs I mentioned, Hypnotists of Ladies, Kiss Me, Son of God, and The Bells Are Ringing. Jerry Orbach and the Chicago Ensemble from the production of Chicago.
Huh.
The song is Razzle Dazzle.
Huh.
You may remember from the movie, Richard Gere sings it.
Yeah, but
give them the old razzle dazzle.
Yeah.
Razzle dazzle them. sort of a song about, you know, how a con man does what he does. Cult of Personality, like you said. James and Bobby Purify, I'm Your Puppet.
Oh, nice.
Another relationship one.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, I knew it wasn't going to make the list, but I really wish I could have found a spot for it. Weird Al Yankovic, the song is Foil. With aluminum foil. Have you heard that?
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah.
And the video is great, too.
With Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Great video.
Yeah, he's the first verse he's singing about putting his, you know, doggy bag food in aluminum foil, keeping it fresh. And then the second verse is all about how he cracked the code and knows about the Illuminati and, you know, black helicopters and all this stuff. But he's protected with his hat made from aluminum foil.
I can't believe I didn't think of that one. It's so good. Such a good pick.
It's, the parody of the Lord song.
Yeah. Royals.
It's great stuff. Anyway, those are mine. And I think that's it. I think we're out of here.
So, yeah.
Thanks so much, man. Ryan Stockstedt, everybody.
Woo! It's a fun topic.
Yeah. Well, I knew you'd dig your heels into this one.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for doing it, man. This has been awesome. I hopefully, I'll definitely put up the links for Halloween horror picks on the website. And then maybe if that thing that you're in is out by then, we'll put the link up for that. Just send it to me if you get it.
Okay.
And
also for sure, Macon County Movie Club, which is the newer show that I'm doing with Matt, and that might have some new episodes by the end of the year. So, like I said, we shot episodes that haven't come out. They're good episodes. We just, you know, we got bogged down with our lives, and as I said,
busy.
One of the editors is like doing a new job, and it's just that's been consuming. And you know,
understandable.
Yeah, so if you want to see a Christmas episode from last year that'll be airing in October, we got you covered.
I will put the link up to that as well. Macon County Movie Club.
Yeah.
Everyone. And that's it. If you like this show, if you are interested in hearing more of All-Time Top 10, you can find us at all the places that you get podcasts. Subscribe, get the show in your inbox every week. Find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Learn about where the archives are located, and the Patreon thing and everything else at our website, alltimetop10pod.com. Shout out to Gabe Scalone, who created our website.
And he also created the logo for Macon County Movie Club.
Nice. Yeah. Gabe doing work from far away. We miss you, Gabe. Come on back out to California when you get a chance.
Please do. And stay safe. Don't get shot.
Damn it. Yeah. We're out of here. Let's move to England. That's it. Over to the UK right now. I'll be Ozzy's next door neighbor.
Can't wait.
Anyway, I think that's it. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Wow. So enthusiastic. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, peace out.